Good evening and welcome to the Radio Ranch. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. It is Thursday, May 11th, 2017. What a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Springtime in full bloom. The grass is green. The sky is blue. The cows are mooing. The little calves skipping about from their stall. It is a great time. And we are thankful for this beautiful time that we have. Got some rough weather again in the Midwest, I'm seeing. And we'll pray for those people as well. But, oh, what a beautiful day here. Thank you for joining us here on 7x70. That's the program. And we're not going to go to Matthew 18 tonight. I don't think we are. We might, but not planning on it. Have some other scripture verses. Several pages here of notes and some things that I want to share with you. And we'll get right on with that. But let's open up with prayer. And we did see some tornadoes and whatnot in Oklahoma and other Southwest and Midwest states in the past. So we will certainly pray for them tonight as well. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather in your name, the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we gather unashamedly, humbly, thanking you that you allow us to do this, Lord, that you allow us to come together, that you've allowed the miracle of shortwave and the internet and the phone lines and the different ways that you allow us to come together, and that you allow your word to go out to your people and to all the world. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that he came born of a virgin, walked the earth as a man, faced the temptations that we face, but resisted them all to show us, Lord, to be that perfect example for us. Thank you for it, Lord. And thank you that you give us your word written from days long ago, Lord, written for our edification, written for our education, written for us to read and to study and to learn and to hear and to apply. Lord, to give us comfort in our life, to give us meaning, Lord, to give us insight into you and to your loving kindness. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon me tonight, Lord, to give me the words to speak, to say the things that you would have me say, that, Lord, it would be edifying to your people and that it would encourage them, Lord, and that it would glorify you. We seek to glorify you, Lord, in all that we do. Father, thank you. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the health that you put upon your people. Thank you for the blessings that you put upon your people, Lord. Lord, help us. Let us bless you by being doers of the word, by being obedient, and by, well, Lord, by us trying to make our obedience more complete, to be more in line with your word and your instructions. Father, we pray as these storms, Lord, it's that time of the year, as these storms roll through the Midwest, back in Oklahoma again, and into Louisiana and Tennessee and just everywhere, Lord, Kentucky, all over. Lord, we pray for those that are yours. We thank you that no deaths came through this today. We pray that, Lord, as the storms come, that your people, Lord, they see that there are things that you have control of that we do not. And Lord, help it to bring your people closer to you, to let them see as these storms build and roll across the country that, Lord, it is you that we are to trust in. Not a home or a storm shelter or provisions that we might have stocked up, but you and you alone, O Lord. And help us do that. Help us to trust in you. Bring your people closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray this, and thanking you. Amen. And amen. And we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later tonight, but starting off, I did see this tornadoes again. Just northeast of Tulsa, out in Owosso, I don't know if that's how you say it, Owosso, Oklahoma, had some tornadoes there, and they're saying pretty good size hail, baseball-sized hail, that's pretty good. That'd take your windshield out, I do believe. Baseball-sized hail. And states in the path for storms, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina. Sounds like half the country there in the Midwest and the South, Mid-South. And so I encourage you folks, be a praying people. Pray for these people that, and as we have, that they be protected during this time of upheaval, this time of storms. Well, I want to remind you, we have Branson coming up. I think we've got all our registrations in. We're happy with that. And we have contacted the hotel and have the room set up. And we're just kind of finalizing the menu and some of the speakers and some of the messages. And so if you prayed about it, if you were led to come, hopefully you've called and signed up. We'll be heading out of here in a couple weeks and heading down that way to set up and to have a great family reunion gospel gathering. We're looking forward to it. We always do. It's a time of recharging. It's a time not unlike we really don't do the feast this year. That might be something that's coming, but we really don't celebrate a gathering at that time. But I can only imagine that the gathering is like how the feast gatherings of old were. You only see people maybe once a year, but when you get together, it's your old friends. You know who they are, you know their family, you know their likes and their dislikes, you know how they love the Lord, and it's a good thing. It is, as we call it, a family reunion, the family of Christ. And I'm looking forward to it, for one. It's going to be June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Remember, you can't just show up. We're not putting out where it is. You have to register, and we've pretty much been beyond that date. So hopefully you have, and we're looking forward to a good time. I have some scriptures I put together I wanted to share with you tonight. I've had a couple of recent conversations in the last couple of weeks, I would say. But there's been kind of a recurring theme that's come up. I haven't brought it up, but it's come back up. And it's basically the need for encouragement. And there always is a need for encouragement, but maybe it's just the people I've been talking to have been either down in the dumps or just not on top of the mountain like we like to be all the time. But the thing that's come up is why. Why, oh Lord, why? And it's made me think. I remember years ago, our pastor taught that when you hear things like that, and many times when we ask, why, Lord, why? That an apt response from our Heavenly Father could be, why not? Why not? When we say, why, Lord, why have these things happened to us? In many different ways and with many different meanings, he can come back and say, why not? And so I just thought I would share some of those scripture verses that I've had the opportunity to share with some of the brethren and some that are not members of our congregation, some people that I've spoken with over the last 2 weeks. And I found myself kind of going back to these same scriptures because the same questions were being asked, the same concerns were being shared, and these same scriptures seemed to be the ones that were answering the question. So I jotted a few down. I thought I'd kind of go over a few of those, because if I've talked to several people just over the last couple of weeks that have benefited from maybe a word of encouragement, then just maybe there's somebody listening out there that might benefit as well. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. We've put a Bible reading plan out just to help you with that. No law that you have to read it like that. It's a tool. It's a tool. You might get behind, you might get a little ahead, but it's a tool to help kind of guide you through this year. The each week is broke up into different categories. different parts of the Bible, the Psalms you read about 1 week, and you read about the Gospels in 1 week, and the Epistles in a different week, and prophecy 1 week. Well, this week we're in poetry, and we're kind of finishing up the book of Job this week. And Job is such an encouraging story, but boy, it puts you in your place. When you read Job, you read the things that his friends tell him, and then even when you read Job's reply and stuff, and then when you read God speaks now to Job, that's today, chapter 38. Oh, it puts us in our place. It reminds us that we are only dust. What is man? And that's a healthy thing to be reminded of. It is. And the book of Job does that. I've got a verse here I want to share with you that I really like it. And I'm excited that it's in today's Bible reading plan today, May 11th. And it's Job 37, verse 13. Job 37, verse 13. And it says, whether for correction or for his world or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. And so, see, there's many different applications when God may say, why not, when we ask why. When we ask why, Lord, why do we live in a world of discouraging times? Why do troubles abound? There's different applications that he can say, why not. When we say, why are there health problems? We have work issues. We have family squabbles. We say, why? Well, sometimes he comes back and says, why not? I think that one way for us to look at this is these are the signs of the times that we live in. No one knows the day or hour that the end of the times are coming, but boy, it seems like we're getting closer and closer. I know we're getting in this physical. We have left winter behind, praise the Lord. We are into a good spring. Here we are, the first solid into the second week of May. And we see we're into spring. The grass is growing, it's starting to grow out in the pastures. Not a whole lot, but it's starting to. It's you can just sense it. You know you can almost feel it and hear it starting to grow. And I've talked to some people in the Midwest and farmers, and they say the same thing. You can almost sense it just bursting out of the ground or starting to blossom. We know, we see the signs of the times. We look at the forecast. We know we have 70 degree weather coming. That's going to grow the grass. We've had rain. We've had snow. We know what's coming. Well, it is the same way when we look at the signs of the times. You look through the news, oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. D.C. is in an uproar. Praise the Lord, the pistol prayer is being answered. We're still praying it on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. Praise the Lord, D.C. sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, bales be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. That we've prayed that, and that is happening. We see it. Happening. We see it happening. Praise the Lord. These things that are happening around us, they are birth pangs. In Romans 8:22, it's everything groans. Everything is groaning out in this sinful world that we live in. Romans 8:22 tells us that all creation groans. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And that worked then, and here 2,000 years later, it is still that now. It still groans out, and there is, that's why there is suffering. It's a time of childbirth. This time is likened unto. Well, what do we do? Why? Why? We have these things, Lord, so we try to eat right. We try to live right. We still have these things. Well, they had these things back in the days of the letters to the Romans and the days that Jesus walked the earth. And the instructions that he gave then certainly still apply to us today. Today we are so much, it seems, so much busier. So many other things going on that catch our attention and then get us focused. Off a little bit, off a little bit, off a little bit. And then these health problems, these work issues, these family squabbles, these things that we read about in the Bible, that we read about in our history, that we have instructions on how to deal with them, that we're told are signs of the times. We're told that all creation groans. It's not just you. It's all creation. But when we're not focusing on the Word and keeping that and God's way in front of us and part of our life, well, it's so easy to get off on the left and then to think that these things are just the end, and then we listen to the thoughts that are not ours but are of the enemies, that enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and it makes for a mess. It makes for a mess, and that's what we're in. Romans 10:17. Gotta have faith. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Well, if you tune in, you keep listening, you're gonna continue to hear the words of Christ and the word from his Bible. You're gonna hear it. We all know this verse, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word. Oh, we know it, but do we believe it? You wanna have more faith? Listen to the word. Read the word. Read it out loud. Do we obey it? Do we listen? We don't always. We want to have that faith. We want things to get better. We want to have that discernment and that understanding. But it doesn't just come. We read on in Romans 10. Got a couple more verses here. Verse 18. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? At the first, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who sought me not. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. In verse 21, but as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Why not, he says. Why not? We have the word. We have the instructions. We have the history. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the free gift of salvation right there. A disobedient and obstinate people. Folks, it's time to change. It is time to not be a disobedient and obstinate people anymore. And we have that opportunity in Christ to do that. Why, O Lord, why? Why not? Why? In Hebrews 5, it talks about Christ. And it talks about a certain thing that Jesus did that we don't hear a lot of. But it applies to the signs of the times, and I think the reasons that we have these, or at least what we are to do as we encounter the family squabbles, the work issues, the health problems, the trials and tribulations. Hebrews 5:7-8. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, says Romans 5:8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Why? To learn. To become better? Well, he was already as good as he needed to be, but as an example for us. Now, that's you know, certainly not how we would do it. That's not how we would do it. But it's how God does it. It's how God did it. It's what His Bible says. It's what the Word says. And it's how Jesus learned. He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. Because, it's, as it says, in the days of His flesh, when He walked this earth, He walked as a flesh and blood man. We have to remember that. He learned obedience from the things that He suffered. He suffered. Oh, so we have to have that? No one wants suffering. But it's a part of life. Just as living and growing and getting old and dying is. Suffered. That's a part of life. Suffering loss. Suffering pain. But suffering is one of the ways that we learn godly ways. It is. It is a way that we learn godly ways. Through suffering is how we mature in Christ, in the grace and knowledge. It's one of the ways, and it's not the only way, but it's one of the ways. We are told to endure. To endure. Read several places. Mark 13:13. You can read Hebrews 12:7. Let's flip over there. I was in Job. Let's flip over there to, we can flip over to Mark. I like reading in Mark. And Matthew, and then Mark. It's right there in the New Testament, pretty early in there. And here it is. And it's Mark 13:13. You will be hated by all because of My name. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. You might hear some little sound in the background. I've got my teenager out there running a weed eater. And he is right by the window, so if you hear that, he got a little practice weed eating last week, and it's good and green here, so I told him to get with it. It's still sunny and warm outside. But he who endures to the end will be saved. So, see, when we have this suffering, when we have these things that come upon us, it's not the end. We are to get through. It again, it's a way we mature. Hebrews, let's flip over there. Hebrews 12:7. And I didn't print these out, so we'll have to flip around a little bit. And it is right over here. Long way. It is right over here, though. Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you endure. It is for discipline that you endure. I think we'll read a little bit more of that if we have time to tonight. But we are to endure. We are to endure. We have suffering, but it's not the end. It's not the end. It's just part of it. It's part of growing. It's part of maturing in Christ. In 1 Peter 1, let's go over there. 1 Peter 1. And let's start reading in verse 6. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proof, and now it says why. You're to rejoice. Because you have trials? Well, not really because you have trials. That's not why we are to rejoice greatly. But let's read on and it'll tell you. Rejoice greatly. Yeah, I know you got a few trials now, but let me tell you why you rejoice greatly. Verse 7, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is why we greatly rejoice. Our faith is being tried and trued and perfected and aligned as we endure these various trials. Verse 8 and 9, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, that faith that you have been distressed by various trials, but it's the proof of your faith that you get that God helps you get through that. Verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Remember, we read all through the Gospels, by your faith you are healed. By your faith, let it be done to you as you believe. As your faith is. As your faith that is tested by fire. You know, faith is not something you go down to Walmart and buy on aisle 12. It's not. It doesn't just come just from nothing happening to you. Just from leading a golden top of the mountain life. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. That's part of life. Part of life. 1 Peter 4, let's look over there. Let's flip over there, a couple more verses here, starting in verse 12. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12. Beloved, see, now this is not speaking down to anyone. He wasn't then and we aren't now. It's beloved. Though, you know, those like-minded brethren that love Jesus Christ, that serve him, that obey him, that have been baptized, that have repented, that are trying to lead a sanctified life. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. See, we rejoice now with the suffering, knowing that he suffered as well. Remember, we read that the world will hate you because it hated him. We rejoice in that. We rejoice in that. His word is true. Verse 14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. See, and we're given that. It's not carte blanche. It's not you do anything you want to do, and when you suffer for it, that's good and godly. That's not what it says, and that's not what it means at all. No, you don't suffer as a lawbreaker. You don't suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. And we have seen over the past several years an increase in the Christian persecution and the suffering that Christians in this country, as well as overseas, have had to endure for saying, no, I'm not going to participate in your filthy civil union. Or no, I'm not going to participate and go to the classes that say it's okay for men to be with men and women with women and with your dog and everything else. There's persecutions that have come on that, come because of that. Don't feel ashamed, but glorify God with it. And when we suffer for that, for this cause, we do glorify God, and he remembers. Verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, and we are of the household of God, if we believe, if we have repented, if we have been baptized, if we have shared in the suffering of his death so we can share in the glory of his resurrection, we are the household of God, and this is where it starts. So this is where we change. We are to change from being a disobedient and obstinate people, as we read in Romans. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Doing what is right. See, when we suffer, we persevere, we endure, and we stay on the straight and narrow. We might be, that's a time to buckle down. That's a time to narrow our steps a little narrower on that straight and narrow. When we have these trials and tribulations, that's a time to make time to read more of the Word. That's a time to make sure that we do what is right, as it says here. We entrust their souls. Lord, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but Lord, I know you will. You say that you will. Lord, I don't know how you're going to get me through this, but you will. We entrust our souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. What God does is right. His will is perfect. And we have to not grow weary from doing good, whether we are suffering or not. We can't say that, well, as soon as I get over this health problem, I'll go do such and such for the Lord. No, we're do it now. And even if you are suffering, even if you are going through trials and tribulations, it's not that we put off doing good. We don't put off serving the Lord until the stars line up and we're just, everything's doing good and we've got extra money in the bank and the truck's running good and the kids are all happy. No. No. We are always, especially when we're suffering, especially when the trials and the tribulations, because many times we might get those things like Job. Not that we've done wrong, but it's for our testing, it's for our endurance. It's because God wants us to go to be better. He's ready for us to graduate kindergarten and move on to first grade. It's for our testing. 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resisting, firm in your faith, knowing, not believing, not hoping, not thinking, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Praise the Lord. Ooh, if that gives me goosebumps. What an encouraging scripture. We have an enemy out there. Be aware, is what he tells us. You got an enemy out there. You know, if we had lions and tigers running around in our society today, you'd be armed if you went out. Well, we have an enemy. He says, be on the alert. The enemy's out there, but you can resist him, but you have to resist. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. But do you resist? If you resist, he will flee. But if you embrace him, he won't. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him firm in your faith. Because guess what? You're not the only one going through the suffering. Whether it's suffering from loss of a loved one, or it's suffering from loss of a job, or it's suffering from health problems, you're not the only one. It just says, knowing, you remember, know that the same experiences or suffering are being accomplished by your brethren. When our pastor passed away, what a time of sorrow and suffering that was. But this verse and God's way brought some comfort, because as we were suffering and hurting and crying and moaning and grieving, we knew that there were brethren all over that were suffering just the same. And some way, somehow, it's encouraging. It helps you get through it when you know you're not the only one going through it. When you know that, hey, God has helped this person over here with it, he'll help you with it. In verse 10 of 1 Peter 5, and after you have suffered for a little while, it may seem like forever to you, but it's just for a little while, the God of all grace will perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish. You see, he has a plan. He always does. Isn't it Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. That's how he looks at us, our Heavenly Father. That's how he looks at his children, at us as children. I got plans for you. I'm perfecting you. We're being confirmed. He is strengthening us. He is establishing us the way he wants, not the way we want. The way he wants. And so we say, good, good. Well, I'm going to live with the Lord. I'm going to live godly. I'm going to turn away from sin. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus, and I'm going to do good. 2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us, and indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That doesn't necessarily mean the sheriff's going to come after you, but will be persecuted. And we remember that sometimes that happens for our discipline, for our discipline. Well, we have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. Got about 15 minutes left. If you have a comment, Hebrews 12:5. We talked a little bit early. You know, this discipline, these trials and tribulations that come upon us, they are not necessarily because we've sinned back, you know, last Thursday. But if we have sinned, we have an advocate. We are to repent and change, ask for forgiveness, confess our sin. We can do that right now. Lord, forgive me of my sins, known and unknown. Forgive me, Lord. I confess them to you, and I ask you to wash me white, wash me clean. Forgive me of my sins and strengthen me and not do them anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's what we are to do. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 12 this time. I think I've got a couple verses here I want to read until the phone's ringing. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved of him. It's not the end of the world. It's not. Reading on, verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. That means he whips every son whom he receives. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Remember, we read that back in Romans 10. But as for Israel, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Disobedient and obstinate. See, we won't have that discipline. Well, we are to have it. We are to go back. We are to embrace it. And we are to praise God. We are to rejoice. We read. Then we read that in 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice for being distressed by various trials. Lord, thank you. Thank you for disciplining us. Because your word says it means you love us. Your word says it means because then we are sons. Verse 9. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. And that's what we do as fathers. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. I can tell you, my children can tell you that, and they'd lift a hearty amen. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. But sorrowful. And so when we have sorrow in our life, whether it's from health problems or if it's from a problem at work, a loss of a job, or a family problem, a family split, or a division, or a misunderstanding, a squabble. When we have that sorrow from a loss of a loved one, it says it seems not to be joyful, and it's not for the moment. There's certainly time, a time for grieving, and a time for sorrow, and there may be a time for asking forgiveness. There's certainly, probably there needs to be more of that, and a time for forgiving. When we have that discipline, it ain't fun. And it's not a good feeling to have. Talked with a brother today about that, just that feeling of sorrow. And you just don't feel like rejoicing. You don't feel like doing anything. It's sorrow. And it affects every part of you, of who you are. That's why we have to go back to the Word, and when we read about it, it explains it, and it reminds us that it's only for a while, and that He will help us through it, and that we are to endure, and we can endure. And this is what we get from it. Verse 11, the next part, it says, "Yet to those who have been trained by it," that means those who have gone through it, those that have lived it, those that have experienced it and learned by it. Afterwards, see, that's a time after. Maybe not during. Maybe not before, but afterwards. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Oh, thank you, Lord. I desire that peaceful. Oh, that peace. I desire that peaceful fruit of righteousness. But when we're suffering, we have to be righteous. We have to claim that righteousness. We have to walk on His path. We have to obey His word. We have to forgive. We have to stick to His word and His way. Verse 12, "Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." See, we hold to the straight and narrow. We do. Well, I see the phone ringing. Let's see if we can get the caller. Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good evening.
Slightly different topic, but this may evolve into what you're talking about here. There was something that I've come across, you know, in place after place and in reading the, you know, the early church writings, and they tell us distinctly that demons and diseases are two separate things. A demon can give you diseases, and they often do, but not all disease and sicknesses and infirmities are always due to a demon. It can be an entirely different thing.
Absolutely, funny. Yeah, yeah. I don't think anyone here's ever said that they are the same thing. They can be different things. We see that God sent an evil spirit upon Saul, and God does that. But yeah, it is pretty far off topic, I'm gonna, you know, we've only got a few more minutes here, and I got about three more scriptures I want to get through, and so, you know, maybe next week we'll have something along that lines. But I hate to kind of jump in midstream and just jump on another current here. But I appreciate your call. I do. But I just don't want to. I don't want to jump ship right here. We're talking about discipline. We're talking about the sorrows that come. And like the caller said, sometimes it may be that sickness. Sometimes it may be a thought, a depression. We had prayer last night for people that were suffering from depression. And it verse 15 says here, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, that by it many be defiled. And we have to be careful about that bitterness that comes, that unfortunately can come after sorrow. We can all too easily become bitter if we've lost a loved one, or if we've done the best we can, and yet it's still, you know, the road just doesn't open up before us. We see the enemy that just seems to prosper and be fine, and don't let that, it says, let no root of bitterness spring up, because that'll cause trouble. Remember your thoughts, even especially through these times of trials, that we have to remember that Jesus Christ came, as we read earlier, that we have that abundant joy, that our for our joy to be made full, for us to have that abundant life abundant, joy. He came to give us, sometimes it's trials and tribulations, but remember that peaceful fruit of righteousness, that is there as well at times. We have to make sure our thoughts line up that way. Sometimes just because we think it doesn't necessarily mean it's from us. And so make sure that when we have our thoughts, especially during times of trials and tribulations and times of sorrow, remember, we will sorrow, but Jesus came to bring that abundant life. So make sure our thoughts line up with that. And the thoughts that we're thinking are not lining up with what comes from the enemy, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Those are not the thoughts we want to have. We can use that perish the thought. Forbid the thought. Thought, leave. I don't want any more. Sometimes we get that'll pop into our head, and we even ask ourselves. I've been asked sometimes, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. Where'd that thought come from? The devil roars about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can destroy. We read about that, didn't we? Prowls about, seeking someone devoured, but resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee. The devil can attack in your thoughts just as he can in your body, with a physical ailment or a mental ailment, either one. Resist him. We can resist it, and we are to do that. And one way is that no bitterness. We have to have forgiveness. It has to be a big part. And that is, we have to be disciplined to remember, to know how to forgive. To know how to forgive. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation." Verse 11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing." If you are going through a time of affliction, and even during that, you are, and we each have our own affliction, and even during that, you were able to praise God, and you were able to keep a stiff upper lip, as the British, I think, say. If you were able to stay on that straight and narrow, to know that he works all things for good, and to proclaim that to others. See, that builds up one another. It does. It's obedience to the word. It's a more complete obedience, even during trials, especially during trials in times of sorrow. Well, we're about out of time. Didn't quite get through all my notes here, but a couple more in, I think, in 1 Thessalonians here, 5. Verse 16, rejoice always. We have a booklet by that title that our pastor wrote when his son of 33 years old died. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Doesn't say sometimes. Rejoice always. If you'd like that booklet, you can write to us. We'll send it to you free of charge. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That's what Christians do. Verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Not in some things, not when you feel like it, not after God has healed you, after God has given you comfort. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, that's all the time we have tonight, folks. Appreciate the call. Just didn't want to get off subject. I wanted to get through those last couple of scriptures, and especially about do not let bitterness spring up. Do not let bitterness spring up. Well, again, thanks for joining us. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Hey, remember, join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good night.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.